everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. This week, we're going to be having a good old-fashioned fixture preview with 26-0's very own Mr. Luke Edwards. That fixture preview happening later in the show. We're also going to be joined this week by the managers at FC United and at Lancaster City. But before all of that, let's welcome back a dear old friend to the show to look back at all last weekend's... Just let me count these. Two results! As well as a plethora of midweek results, it's a welcome back to our dear old friend, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. It's James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, last week, obviously, we had a fixture preview and we were saying, it was snowing last week. So, take on board that before setting off to your game. Plenty of postponements, sadly, from Saturday afternoon. We did get a couple of results in, though, James, and two significant results as well. First up at the top of the table, Hyde United beat Stafford Rangers by 1-0. Saw Hyde United retake top spot. Good result, that one, for Hyde.
Yeah, obviously, four games against them for South Shields, but great result there. Late on for the Hyde United to win, and I think the entirety of the country heard Berkey scream the winner. Great little flick on from Eddie Michael to win it there.
Let's hear some post-match action now. It's the manager at Hyde United, Nick Spooner, speaking to the aforementioned Luke Edwards on Hyde United's YouTube channel.
First of all, it's a great result. You know, we get back on the winning ways. I was pleased in a way, though, because, you know, we've shown they sat off us. You know, we had to break them down, and we just discussed the first half. I think it was a bit deep. Got together at half-time, said, you know, just keep passing the ball, keep it simple. And then we did that. You know, I think we took control of the game second half. Started being a bit more positive, got players more forward. And then obviously scored an excellent goal.
And a clean sheet, which you must be really pleased about.
Yeah, I said a couple of weeks ago, we need to scout some goals. No, we'll go back to the 1-0s. We'll be like the old Arsenal again, you know, I don't care less now. But yeah, clean sheet, 1-0 win, puts us in a good position again.
Nick Spooner there, manager of Hyde United, speaking to Luke Edwards on Hyde United's YouTube channel. And a big thank you to the media team at Hyde United for that clip. And a link to Hyde United's YouTube channel is available in the description to this podcast, of course. There was another result from Saturday, and that was impressive, to say the least, both on and off the pitch. Firstly, big congratulations to Nantwich Town and the volunteers and the ground staff. It was the only game in the Premier Division in the north of England on grass to pass a pitch inspection. Phenomenal effort. Unfortunately, though, for Nantwich, they were beaten by Stalybridge Celtic by 4-0. A brilliant result for Stalybridge Celtic, James. Sees Stalybridge up to 14th now in the league table. Just 2 points behind Ashton United and 3 points behind Stafford Rangers. And Stalybridge have got games in hand over the pair of them. It's been quite a transformation for Chris Wilcox's side.
That's a fantastic result. A couple of new players coming straight into the team. Two fantastic goals as well by Phil Bailey-Jones and Kyle Harrison to get the result there.
Stalybridge Celtic winning by 4-0. Not bad at all on Saturday. We had a few more games, thankfully, midweek, James, on Tuesday. And we might as well stay with the bottom half of the table because Mask United, what a result this is. Ashton United 1, Mask United 2. Mask United there coming from behind to take all 3 points there. And a really important victory. At the same time, FC United were beating Nantwich. So Nantwich there with two defeats this past week sees Mask United now 1 point behind Nantwich Town. And they've got a remarkable 8 games in hand over Nantwich. That's a hell of a result for Curtis Woodhouse's side on Tuesday night, James.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks hasn't helped in terms of the pitch. So they're going to be on the road for the next few weeks now, particularly with South Shields game on the 31st. That's been reversed. So, as we said there, it's a massive result there. But the next couple of weeks is going to be crucial, especially with the fact, again, they're not going to have a home game. But that being said, at the same time, if they can get the points on the road as it is now, they might not have to worry come March, April.
Let's have some post-match reaction to that victory at Hurst Cross on Tuesday night. Here is the Mask United manager, Curtis Woodhouse, speaking with Mask United's YouTube channel shortly after that 2-1 victory on Tameside.
Yeah, I thought we were brilliant tonight. I just said in the dressing room after, I've been at this a long time now, this management lark, and that's one of the proudest performances any of my teams have put in with because, you know, I mean, were we free-flowing? No. Were we, you know, Barcelona? No. But, wow, what a shift the lads put in. After a long old travel over here, A lot of lads leaving work early. We haven't played a league game since December the 3rd. The lads out there are nowhere near match fit. You know, you just can't be because we haven't had the games. So to come here against a really, really good Ashton side, I think these will be in and around the top five, and do what we did, I'm mega, mega proud of the lads. You know, the lads are absolutely out on their feet in the dressing room, and yeah, mega proud.
Curtis Woodhouse there, manager of Mask United, speaking with Mask United's YouTube channel. And a link to all the YouTube channels that we featured on this week's show are available in the description to this podcast. Right, let's go a bit higher up the table now. We mentioned Hyde United, top of the table, 47 points. Same number of points as South Shields in second. South Shields do have four games in hand. Then in third place, after Tuesday night's matches, we've got Bamber Bridge, a 1-0 victory over Warrington Rylands. What an impressive result that is. The gap now between Bamber Bridge in third and Warrington Rylands in 10th is 8 points following that victory there. Bamber Bridge have got a game in hand as well. I've mentioned that points gap there because Warrington Rylands in the second half of the season, you know, I think a lot of pundits and a lot of listeners to the show will be expecting them to challenge for the playoffs. Bamber Bridge have got themselves a cushion there to a fellow playoff contender. That said,
yeah,
and I mentioned this last week to Jamie Milligan, they're 3 points off top spot. So maybe it's not just the playoffs that Bamber Bridge could be aiming for this year.
Yeah, it's not just only the fact with that as well. They've got a fantastic record against teams in the top half of the table at this moment. Counting just results between them sides alone, they're second to Hyde United at the moment in time too.
Bamber Bridge there with a cracking result over Warrington Rylands. We should say we'll be previewing this weekend's matches. Bamber Bridge, incidentally, travelling to Belper Town this weekend. We'll have a full fixture preview with Luke Edwards at 26-0 shortly. But Gainsborough Trinity are in fourth, 2 points now behind Bamber Bridge. Gainsborough do have two games in hand over Bamber Bridge. Warrington Town didn't play this past week, but they're in fifth position, 3 points ahead of FC United. FC United with a 2-0 win at Nantwich Town, as we alluded to earlier. Sees FC United back involved. And we should say FC United are hosting Warrington Town this weekend, which seems like a big game, James. Very big game.
Yeah, it is. Both teams are starting to pick up a little bit of form. Obviously, the win at Nantwich on Tuesday night, first win of 2023, after the fantastic draw last week against Hyde and the draw against Whitby. I think this could potentially be an early six-pointer for both sides as well. Yeah, there's still a lot of football to play, but if FC United...
If this was a jokey podcast, which, you know, it could be, at that point when you said it's a six-pointer, I feel like there should have been music playing at that point, some fireworks going off.
I probably would have asked.
Did you say six-pointer? Yay! Right, there we go. I've done it.
Call it a 6-point is probably a bit harsh in terms of Warrington Town, but for FC, it's a big, big point, especially with Marine's result during the midweek as well.
It's a big game anyway this weekend. FC United taking on Warrington Town. Let's welcome back the manager now at FC United ahead of this game on Saturday, and it's a welcome back to the show to Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on that midweek win away from home at Nantwich. How was your evening at the Weaver Stadium?
Yeah, Ben, great to speak to you. It was difficult. You know, Nantwich suffered a disappointing result on Saturday against Stalybridge, and we knew it would go one of two ways because, you know, as a new manager, he wouldn't have tolerated that performance on Saturday, and he wanted to know in that dressing room he's got players that are going to get right behind him. And you've seen from their performance on Tuesday that they gave him everything. And, you know, on another night, they're unlucky not to get something. But we're also unfortunate that we've got the leading marksman in the league in Regan Linney. And he does what he does best. He scored two goals and we ran away with the 3 points. But, you know, I've no doubt that Nantwich will be okay this season. They acquitted themselves really well. And he gave us a really tough test, but it was nice to come away with 3 points.
And it was a kind of different performance as well, because on this week's show, I've got Luke Edwards on from 26-0, who cover Hyde United games. And last week, I was speaking to someone from Whitby Town Radio. And it's quite interesting because FC played Whitby Town. It was 2-2. It was a bit of a thrilling game. Everyone agrees. Last week's game against Hyde United was epic. It was a bit more sedate on Tuesday night. I mean, is that welcomed for your heart rate?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything welcome for your heart. What is welcome, Ben, is that a lot of managers in recent weeks have talked about FC United being the best footballing side that they've played against. And that's really nice to hear. But I've said to many people in the past that it's no good playing great football and not getting the right result. Tuesday night, arguably, we didn't play as well as what we could do. You know, we had to adapt to the sticky footballing conditions. We had to deal with the long ball threat. So we didn't play as well, but we came away with 3 points. And And it's kind of that million-dollar question. Do you want to play well and not win, or sometimes you want to play a bit uglier and win? I think over the course of a season, you want a combination of everything. And it's just one of them, Ben. And for us, you know, heading into February, heading into the, if you will, the crunch part of the season, you know, we're in and around the playoffs, and we'll take points any which way they come at the minute. And if people want to talk about the performance levels aren't as good as the previous weeks, and so be it. But, you know, the high performance of Whitby performance, I thought, were exceptional from both sides. But we came away with a point each, respectively. Nantwich, it wasn't great, but it was effective, and we came away with 3 points. You know, so I think going into the Warrington game and going into the next few games, you want a little bit of both. It's nice to keep a clean sheet. It's nice to score goals. It's nice to get 3 points. But equally, it's nice to be rewarded and be complimented and talked about by other managers for being one of the best football sides in the league.
Tomorrow, obviously, as you touched upon there, it's Warrington Town at Broadhurst Park. 3 points separated the two teams. There's not too much separating in the records. I mean, Warrington have drawn a few more games, but I mean, what's your thoughts on this one tomorrow? It should be box office, I think.
Yeah, I think they're a fantastic side. You know, we played down there, we come away with a 1-0. Probably on the balance of play, I think on the day, you know, a point is the right result. I think Will Stanway and Nets made some superb saves, and you know, Tony Thompson made some superb saves. We got the 3 points. I watched them against Hyde 2 weeks ago, and I was super impressed. The fitness levels of Josh Amos, the way Williams gets around the park, how the big and solid at the back. Bees has got him, you know, organised and played a really good brand of football. So you talk about box office, we're going to go toe-to-toe with one of the form sides in the league. I think it's November since they last lost. So it's really there for them. And, you know, I encourage everyone, if they're at a loose end of what game to get to tomorrow, it's going to be FC United Warrington Town. And I just think it'll be another humdinger. You know, hopefully with a heart rate, it's not another 4-0 like the high game. But I want to play a good brand of football, and Bees will say the same thing to his side. And it's a game that I always look forward to. You know, I like the chairman, Toby. I like Bees. I like the way Warrington play. One thing that has happened over the last few years is when we played against each other, it's exciting. You know, I think it was the 4-0 draw that we had at Broadhurst Park. So there's always goals, and I'm sure tomorrow it'll be two teams. It'll be two management teams that have prepared the sides in the right way, and hopefully, you know, we can get the right result, but we know we're going to have to overcome a really strong and resolute Warrington side.
And we all know the cliches about there being no easy games in this league and all that, but I mean, South Shields had have happened, it would have been, you know, Hyde United, South Shields, Nantwich away, Warrington, the next game after Warrington, one game at a time, more cliches. Matlock Town, Geisler, Lancaster away, tough games, but
these you wasn't going to remind me of that.
Yeah, sorry about that, but these are games where, I mean, 3 points outside the playoffs, I mean, it's all about momentum, isn't it, and consistency, and yeah. If you can be lucky enough to get a run of wins going, then that's brilliant, isn't it? But it's easier said than done in this league.
I think people underestimate the Northern Premier League or the strength of the Northern Premier League, and they look at it and sometimes says, oh, you must have 18, 19 average sides and just two or three good sides running away with it. Well, until you watch the game of Northern Premier League football, you find out that every squad's been fantastic in terms of the recruitment. Most managers want to play the same way. You know, every chairman or every board want to really get behind the team, as do the fans. And I haven't seen an easy game. You know, gone are the days where you're looking at a side that are at the bottom and they're destined to go down, they're getting beat 6-7-0 every week. It just doesn't happen. You know, bottom sides can beat top sides. Bottom sides can give top sides a game. Middle sides can go toe-to-toe with each other. For me, it's the best that the league has ever been, and that's a credit to the Northern Premier League and people playing in it. So when you rhyme off the likes of Shields, Warrington, Matlock, Geisley, Lancaster, I throw in the McBelper, Nantwich, Liversedge, etc., it's just a really competitive league. So I just look at the next fixture and think, great, it's going to be a good game. No point looking at the league table because everyone needs taking points off everyone. So for us, it's just great. You know, it's great to be involved in the league. It's great to be involved towards the top end of the table. We know our objective and we know what we've got to do when we play these sides, and it's to take points off them, like it is with everybody, whether or not you're topping South Shields or you're languishing towards the bottom. I just think we've seen that every game's a good game.
And last question, Neil. I mean, it comes across as an interview. My last question normally is how much you're looking forward to the challenge of what's possible in the second half of the season. But throw into the mix as well, the Phoenix Trophy is still going on. There's a trip to Belgium in the offing next month. There's also a trip to Valencia as well. I mean, how much you're looking forward to what's possible in the second half of the season for FC United?
It's as though you were a fly on the wall in the change rooms last night, Ben, because that's exactly what I said to the lads. You know, you're in a real privileged position where 2 weeks' time, you're flying out to Belgium to compete in the Phoenix. Valencia are going to come here. We're going to go there. Wait to find out who the final is. We're in the playoff mix. We're in the running. Crowds are, you know, bumper at FC United at Broadhurst Park. Everyone's getting behind it. There's so many exciting things happening at the football club with our new women's team sponsor. You know, there's so many good things attached to FC United. And I have to keep reminding the lads and pinching the lads that what a privilege you are to be sat in this dressing room toe-to-toe with Warrington, or to get on a plane from Manchester to Beveren. And, you know, what we're going to do is, like we did last season, one game at a time, enjoy it. We're going to try and make sure that the Phoenix Trophy doesn't interfere with our league campaign, because last season we did underperform, finishing ninth, and we want to get higher than that. But equally, we want to go and defend our trophy in Europe. But we know that, you know, when we get back from Beveren, whoever it may be, they won't feel sorry for us. They won't think we'll be stuck on a plane. So we've just got to make sure that we prepare ourselves, we do the right things, we enjoy each game. We love winning games of football. We love winning games of football at Broadhurst Park in front of our fans. We love travelling across Europe. We love winning away from home or competing. And all I can say to everyone connected to FC is that squad of ours, he goes into every single game, trying the best to execute a game plan, to get the right result. And if they don't, yes, it hurts, but then we go again. And, you know, if it does, we don't enjoy it too much. We just get back on the bike and we go again. And that's what we're going to do between now and the end of April. Like I said, Ben, we've got a target in that dressing room. And, you know, it's looking positive that we could achieve that target, but long way to go between now and the end of the season.
Well, Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United, a big thank you for taking the time out of your Friday to join us on this week's show, and all the best this weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben.
Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So Warrington Town travelling to FC United on Saturday, and we will have Luke Edwards' thoughts from 26-0 ahead of that game in our fixture preview later in the show. Just a couple of more results to talk about from this past week. Big result for Marine on Tuesday night, James. Marine 1, Stafford Rangers 0. Sees Marine 4 points behind Warrington Town now. And we should say Marine do have a game in hand over FC United, who they're 1 point behind, and a game in hand over the aforementioned Warrington Town. So that's a big result as well for Marine. Gets them back involved after some tricky fixtures of late.
Yeah, first winning 5-3 against the Stafford side, whose form is not great at this moment in time themselves. Both of them teams could have done with a win there easily, but Marine keeps themselves in that little bit of a playoff push at the moment, especially the fact, again, you look at the results from Marine in the last couple of weeks, they've lost against teams in the playoff position. So it just gives them a little bit of a morale boost, ready for the likes of Radcliffe, Stalybridge, Belper. Big opportunity there to push for the playoff positions if they can keep that form going.
And one last result from Tuesday night. So Radcliffe draw 2-2 with Lancaster City, and that's a remarkable 4 draws on the trot now for Lancaster City, and another game where they come from behind to do so. In this instance, they were 2-0 down with about 20 minutes left of this game. I mean, that's phenomenal, isn't it, from Lancaster again?
Yeah, great last 15 minutes from there. If the game was going on, they could have easily won that game, realistically, it's fair to say. So again, Lancaster, second half of the season, always tend to turn it up a little bit and just get themselves out that little bit of trouble down the bottom end of the table.
As I said, 4 straight draws for Lancaster City. And in 3 of those draws, they got equalisers to get their points. So good stuff from Lancaster City there on the road at Stainton Park against Radcliffe. Let's hear now from the manager at Lancaster City. And it's a big welcome back to the show. Here's Mark Fell. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. And there's only one place we can start. That's Tuesday night at Stainton Park. Coming from 2-0 down to snatch a point with 10 minutes left. I mean, that's a running theme at the moment with Lancaster. 4 straight draws. I mean, what's going on at the moment?
We're not finishing teams off. That's the first thing, I think. We've actually played really well over Christmas. We were certainly getting punished in the moments of the game where we did make a mistake, for example. We were getting punished, and then we spent the rest of the time trying to make that ground up and trying to, you know, put teams under pressure to make a similar mistake and get us back into the game. So I've been really pleased with how we've played. I don't think we've had anything like the points return for our performances. I mean, with the exception probably of Tuesday, because we were really poor for an hour on Tuesday. But having said that, football's a strange game, and we actually scored the winner in the 92nd minute, which was ruled out for offside. And when we reviewed the video, it's not offside. So that's a bit of a frustration. And that would have been, you know, just a bit of the rub of the green that we've been after recently, because I've never known a season like it for injuries, for example. I mean, we have 5 centre-halves at the club at the moment, and three of them are injured. Two of them got injured on Tuesday night. So it's just it's a task and a half at the moment, I think, for a lot of managers to in this division with the intensity of it. But when you add in, you know, maybe not getting the rubber of the green that you think you deserve and a spate full of injuries as well, it certainly becomes a bit more difficult.
That being said, I mean, James, who was at the game, he said if the match went on for another 10 minutes, Lancaster would have won the game. And, you know, Radcliffe, you know, they're 6 points from the playoffs, they've got games in hand. So, you know, that's an away point, a playoff contender at the moment. I mean, generally as well, if we throw in the Bamber Bridge result, you know, the Staley Bridge draw, I mean, Staley Bridge are in good form at the moment. I mean, are you hopeful that when players come back and you do, you know, the luck does turn ever so slightly, that that you could be moving up the table like Stalybridge have done and like guys they've done?
Yeah, and there is a feeling of that in the camp. We, you know, there's never been a sort of a panic or really looking over our shoulders. We're really confident that we'll be fine. It's obviously, we need to convert some of those draws into wins, of course, but we also need to, you know, have that little bit of belief that we, you know, we are a decent side. We've changed the way we play this year. We're playing some nice stuff, and we, you know, we're sometimes coming out the wrong side of the margins. But you know, I think when we get players back, and if we get players back, I mean, players as important as Andy Teague. I mean, Teague broke his arm on Tuesday, so what that will mean, we don't know. If he needs an operation, you know, it won't be the standard 6 weeks or so for a broken arm. So there's so many variables and factors at the moment which do make the job frustrating, I suppose. But we're not really in a position to go and, you know, just to go and buy and to go and bring more players in. So, you know, we lost Dale Whittam last month because, you know, we just couldn't match the offer that he was getting from Ashton. So, you know, we know what we are and we know the parameters that we work within. And I've got to do the best I can to get the necessary quality and characters into the club to get us up that division, which is what we plan to do.
Well, sending our best wishes to Andy as well. Hopefully a speedy recovery. And if I could just take you back to that game on Boxing Day, you know, the Bamber Bridge result. You're coming off the back of, you know, an enforced winter break where there's not much football and that kind of thing. You know, Norris pops up with a very late in the day equaliser to get the point for yourselves. I mean, how difficult was that winter break, that enforced winter break, and then coming back and getting a game like that in?
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, David Norris was worth his weight in gold that day. I mean, he's got injured since, so we had him to the list as well. But I think that the tougher thing for managers was the cold snap after Christmas. I think the before Christmas stuff we sort of managed. I mean, I think we went 17 days without a game. I think 11 of those days we didn't train because we'd no indoor training facilities. So the even the 3G pitches were frozen. So that was really tough for us. And our form is actually all right. I think we've lost 1 in 9. In the league, so you know we've drawn too many, but we are difficult to beat. Our job is just to, you know, to try and get that bit of consistency. But I think everybody's suffered the same in terms of the standard of the player that they want to put out on the pitch because it's been so stop start. It's almost felt a little bit like the COVID seasons where, you know, there's so much uncertainty. When can we train? When can we go out? You know, what game's going to get called off? When will the rearranged games come in? I mean, we've got, you know, I think we've still got more or less half of our fixtures to play, give or take one. You look at Mars, because they're going to play every Tuesday now between now and the end of the season. So it's going to be a really intense running, I think, for people. And that gives us a bit of hope that we can use some of those games to propel us sort of up the league and back into, you know, into, first of all, a safe position, of course. But, you know, usually we see a team, don't we, that makes a little bit of a late run for it. And we hope that can be us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, obviously, for your opinions on this relegation line and how high up the points tally is going to be, because I was discussing it earlier. You know, if we just take Liversidge, you've got games in hand as well, and Belper out of the equation. You know, Whitby, yourselves, Nantwich, Mask, Morpeth, Atherton, Coles, Stalybridge, you're all capable of going on runs. So this points mark for safety, I don't think it's going to be 40 points, is it, like it normally is?
No, I think you might even put 10 on that. So yeah, it's a very competitive division, isn't it? It always has been, always will be. And I think when you look at the teams that are likely to come into the division next year, both from above and below, you know, it's not going to get any easier. These are tough divisions where you've got clubs that are massively well resourced and you've got clubs that are probably punching above the weight, and we're probably one of those. So I say we've got confidence that we're not going to get dragged into that, but football's a strange game and we know we need to get some points on the board fairly quickly. But I'd say we're fairly confident camp at the moment because our standard of play has been good. Our rubber the greens, probably not. But yeah, there's no better time to start that than Matlock on Saturday. And then we've got another couple of tough games because we go up to South Shields and then we go to Warrington on the Tuesday as well. So they don't get easier, but they will come thick and fast for us to try and put a dent into the teams above.
Let's talk about the Matlock game. What's your thoughts on this match on Saturday?
I think it'd be a Northern Premier League tough attritional game, if I'm honest. We've had quite a lot of information about them. Obviously, they've had a change of manager. They've had a couple of changes of manager, haven't they, this year? So, we know Martin's teams quite well. I remember my first game as Lancaster manager was against his Basford side at the Giant Axe. So, we've got a bit of knowledge and a bit of understanding. So, they're always tough games that they play a certain way. I think we do. I think they've certainly got eyes on the playoffs, haven't they, in their position. And I think every game certainly is still going to have something on it for a long, long time. So, and we know that this division that, the teams at the bottom of the league beat the teams at the top of the league every single week. So I expect an attritional game. I expect two sides that probably a draw doesn't work for, if I'm honest. So, there could be some goals.
And Matt, just a final question, really, just about, this next bit of the season. Like you say, you've got a couple of tough games coming up, but fingers crossed you get some players back as well during this period and some momentum going. Four games unbeaten, eight bad in this league. So what's your thoughts on what's coming up and how much you're looking forward to this challenge of getting Lancaster up towards the top half of the table?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a bit more consistency in terms of training and games because I think we're all creatures of habit in the game and we all like to know what we're doing and, when that's taken away from you, it becomes difficult. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the stretch of games. I'm looking forward to us getting out there. And I just want to see the side that we've put together fulfill its potential, which we think it can. So, undoubtedly, we need to make some additions, but we'll make the right additions. We won't, we won't panic, bring players into the club. We need to make the right decisions. And if that means that we work on small numbers of, 14, 15, 13 players, then so be it in the short term, because I do believe that those 14 or 15 have got what we need to win games in the division. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I certainly don't want the break like I did last year. I want to get my teeth into it and want to get cracking again. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Well, Matt Fell, manager of Lancaster City, a big, big thank you for taking your time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Have a good weekend and all the best in the coming matches.
Thanks, Ben. Good to speak to you.
Matt Fell there, manager of Lancaster City, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Luke Edwards from 26-0 will be joining us in a second for a fixture preview. But James, just before we go, we're pre-recording this bit of the show on Wednesday. It's quite mild outside. Fingers crossed there won't be a big, these are the games that I've got pitch inspections, tweet and Facebook posts on Saturday. But if there are any, how can people follow the Northern Premier League on social media?
Yeah, so on Twitter, obviously all the updates will go there first of all, as well as the website. So Twitter at Northern Premier League, and then on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook and YouTube, official Northern Premier.
Good stuff. Well, James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us on this week's show. Have a lovely weekend and catch up next week.
No, same to you, man. Thank you.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining me on this week's show, but it's now time to look into the future. And we're pre-recording this bit of the show now on Thursday, and I'm pleased to report that our optimistic tones that the weather was starting to go a bit mild ahead of this weekend have continued into Thursday. So fingers crossed, this next bit of the show is not a big giant waste of time and these fixtures will be taking place. And joining me, therefore, for a big fixture preview for all of this weekend's matches, which are guaranteed to happen, Luke Edwards joins us from 26-0. Hello, Luke. How are you?
Hello, Ben. How are you? Have you recovered from the FC Hyde game yet?
Oh, what an epic encounter that was, wasn't it? 5 stars in the paper that got and well worthy of it. I've not spoken to you properly since. That was an epic game a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, between those two?
Yeah, it was end-to-end stuff, wasn't it? It was a brilliant game. I think the conditions contributed a little bit, as did the pitch, certainly in the penalty areas. But the first half was a bit all kamikaze all over the place. But it was disappointing to get from 3-1 to 4-3 up and then not see out the game. But like I say, I think they didn't deserve to be a loser in the end, did they?
No. No, I mean, to be fair, FC hit the post, didn't they, in the last minute? Yeah. It could have been 5-4. It could have been really weird as a game of football. But both teams in action this weekend. I mean, we might as well start with Hyde United, current league leaders. And we'll, of course, give a plug for 26 Nils coverage of this game at the end of this preview. But this is a tough game away at Geisler. Geisler didn't play, obviously, this past week, which is a shame for Geisler, I'm going to suggest, because they've got momentum in a massive way at the moment. Tough game, this one, for Hyde this week. And this is going to show the calibre of the title challenge that's coming out of Ewan Fields.
Yeah, it's a big month in general. Got two away games back to back. They've got Geisley on Saturday and a Belper away on Tuesday before they face Rylands, I think, and then Radcliffe. So, yeah, it's kind of a big four or five games. Geisler are going to be really tough, as I say. Great momentum. They beat Shields in the last game, didn't they, at home, which I thought might happen. So, Geisler is always a tough place to go anyway, but Philo will have him well organised. It'll be physical. And the one thing you don't want to do is go behind to Geisler. Because if we've seen, like with these Matlock teams in the past, they're very hard to break down, aren't they? They'll throw the ball into the box. So you've got to stand up physically as well. So I could see this potentially being a draw.
And that would be a decent draw for both teams. But also, you mentioned South Shields there and their game at Geisler. And we previewed that on the monthly show a couple of weeks ago. And we said pretty much the same thing, that you wouldn't be surprised, would you, if Geisler actually won that game because of how Geisler were playing at the moment. What about this next game for South Shields? South Shields away at Atherton Colls. That's a test, isn't it? I mean, I said it's a, you know, Geisler away for Hyde is a measure of Hyde United's title credentials. This is the same for South Shields. This is, you know, bouncing back after that tough away at Geisler with a tough away at Atherton Colls this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a week off, haven't they? So they'll have certainly relaxed and prepared for it, but the big thing on South Shields' Twitter is that they're, certainly from the fans, is they're worried about the away form again. It was their Achilles heel last year. It seems like it could be the Achilles heel again this year. And this is the game they slip up in when they go to somewhere like Atherton in January and February. The pitch is heavy. They can't play how they want to. They get frustrated. Although Atherton have been in great form at home, have they? But I know Brad Cook says he's going to be a Hyde United fan now. He says he wants to do us a favour. So That'll be really interesting. As we know, Atherton will get the ball in the box. They'll make it hard for Shields, but will they keep Shields out? Again, I won't be surprised if that's a draw.
What about Bamber Bridge? Bamber Bridge travelling to Belper Town, and Bamber Bridge have got this sense of momentum massively at the moment. They can't go top spot. I'm gonna say they can't this weekend. I'm sorry to Bamber Bridge supporters. It's all about the goal difference. 3 points off top spot, but you'd need an astronomical goal swing in your favour to go top spot at 5 o'clock on Saturday. But Belper need a win, don't they? But Bamber Bridge have got form behind them, and it could be three teams on 47 points at 5 o'clock on Saturday. One of them being Bamber Bridge.
Yeah, they're flying, aren't they? And this kind of, it could be an attractive game, because Belper have, like you said, they've got two home games. They've got Bamber Bridge and then they've got us on Tuesday. And they're going to come out the traps in both of them, because they need to come out as a home side and win, which will suit both Bamber Bridge and us. So it could be end-to-end stuff, really. But yeah, Bamber Bridge are flying. Jamie's done a great job, especially after we beat them 7-0. They were struggling a little bit. They'd lost Macaulay Wilson, obviously, to suspension. They don't seem to be quite utilising the loan market as well, but then most teams are struggling like that this year. That's not a fault of theirs, really. It's just there's not as many players available. So you wondered how they were going to cope. But yeah, this run seems to have come from nowhere, really. And I think they'll win at Belper on Saturday.
Gainsborough Trinity, they're travelling to Stalybridge Celtic. And, well, Stalybridge Celtic are in impressive form, to say the least. They're 2 points behind Ashton United, 3 points behind Stafford Rangers, and Stalybridge have got games in hand over the pair of them. It's been quite a turnaround at Bower Fold over this past couple of months or so. Gainsborough Trinity sitting in fourth, 5 points off top spot, 3 points ahead of the likes of FC United, 4 points ahead of Marine and Matlock. This is just the nature of the league, isn't it? You have, you know, a weekend maybe where you don't play, or a weekend where you drop points, and all of a sudden you're involved in a battle that you weren't involved with a fortnight ago. That's just the nature of the league. A win for either team would be handy at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Stalybridge, I think this will be the first home game in a month. So, yeah, Gainsborough, who's kind of a bit in and out at the minute, aren't they, Gainsborough? Last couple of games, they've maybe not done as well as they've thought. They'll be looking to bounce back. This is a huge game for them, as it is Stalybridge, because if they lose and the teams below them win, then obviously it drags them back towards the relegation zone. They can't actually drop into it, can they? difficult to call. I think I'm going to go for a narrow away win, but equally, I won't be surprised if Stalybridge did us a favour as well.
And if results go a certain way this week, and Stalybridge could find themselves in 12th. Let's go to the team currently sitting 5th. That's Warrington Town. They're taking on the team currently sitting 6th. That's FC United. 3 points separating the two teams. Not too dissimilar. Warrington have drawn a few more games than FC United. It's at Broadhurst Park. We should say, I mean, the game on Tuesday was, you know, a dogged away win at Nantwich. Very different to the Hyde United game we spoke about. You know, the Whitby game for FC United was a bit of a thriller as well the week earlier. So maybe this one will be the same, a bit getting the pulses going this weekend. It's certainly up there for game of the weekend in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Warrington's the 4th in the away form table, aren't they? But like you said, they've had a lot of draws. I know they drew with us a couple of weeks ago in a game that felt we should have won. A couple of decisions went against us. Then they drew away at Atherton. When you side Warrington, you think they're going to get 4, and then they kind of throw in a couple of draws and slip down. And then when you think, well, they're slipping into mid-table, they suddenly pick up a couple of wins and they're back in the playoffs. And nobody's really spoken about them as much this year, have they? But still a decent side, still a lot of experience with the likes of Tony Thompson in there and Andy White in there. Sean Williams was really good in midfield against us the other week. Jordan Buckley's back in the mix now as well. Josh Amos up there. So you've got the firepower, and it'll be interesting to see how FC deal with their sort of physicality, certainly at set pieces. I think FC can get at them, certainly from a pace point of view. I think that's where Regan Linney will be key.
Maybe a 5-all draw, maybe?
Yeah, and obviously see her at home on a Saturday, and we know how that turns out.
Exactly.
At the minute.
Let's go to the team currently sitting 7th, who obviously will be hoping for a draw this weekend between Warrington and FC. That's Marine. Marine have... They had a spell, didn't they? They had to play Rylands, they had to play South Shields, they had to play Bamba Bridge. Getting back to winning ways against Stafford Rangers, this weekend they'll be taking on Ashton United. Ashton United with, I think, a bit of optimism when Steve Cunningham came in. Then they've had some postponements, and then they obviously had to play Mask midweek, and that was a win for Mask. So be interested to see what happens at Ashton United for this game following that defeat midweek. But for Marine, it's an opportunity to close the gap on Warrington Town and Gainsborough Trinity this weekend, potentially.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock for me, that Ashton result, because they took the lead, didn't they, against Mask, and he thought they'd go on and win that, especially with Steve Cunningham there. I know that they're probably getting used to... I know he knows a lot of the players, but they're still probably getting used to the surroundings and stuff. It will be on Marine's 3G. He's brought in a lot of players from Buxton who know how to play on that. So he'll certainly have them well organised. He'll get them up there, could he? If they get on a roll, then again, they could be dark horses. But it was a big win for Marine midweek against Stafford, wasn't it? Marine are good at home, as we know. We've spoken about this before, the home record, haven't we? I think they've only... the 7th in the form table, I think they've only lost twice at home this season. So a difficult nut to crack there. So I think possibly a narrow win for Marine.
And that would be a good result for Marine, certainly. See them up to 41 points, if that prediction is correct. Also looking to get to 41 points this weekend will be Matlock Town. They're travelling to Lancaster City, and we heard from Mark Fell earlier. And Lancaster are on a remarkable run at the moment. 4 games unbeaten, all draws, and in 3 of the 4 draws, they've come from behind to get equalisers. Sometimes very late in the day to get equalisers. So there's certainly a spirit there at Lancaster City in recent weeks. That's for sure. Tough game for Matlock this weekend.
Yeah, and with the pitches it is at the Giant Axe as well, I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I can see that being a low-scoring draw again, I think.
Obviously, Matlock Town in 8th. We've mentioned Guiseley already. Tough game for them against Hyde United. They're in 9th, 5 points from the playoffs. Warrington Rylands, they've got an interesting game this week, and they're taking on Liversidge. Liversidge away from home. Warrington Rylands with defeats of late, but just 6 points outside the playoffs. They'll be looking to close that gap this weekend, but it's a bit of a banana skin. But, you know, Jody Bannum's side will be keen to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, Liversidge better away from home, as everyone knows. I think if Rylands get an early goal, they'll be fine, but Liversidge will go there and make it hard for them. We know the Rylands like to play football, don't they? So I think if they can get an early goal, they'll win that game comfortably. But the longer it goes on, the frustration will certainly look to creep in. I think that defeat to Warrington Town in a derby kind of stunned them a little bit. They were leading in that game, weren't they? And then they went and lost at Bamber Bridge on Tuesday. So they do need to bounce back, but I think they will do in this one.
And then that takes us to Radcliffe. Radcliffe currently 11th. They're travelling to Morpeth. Obviously, Morpeth in their last game picked up a very good win over Gainsborough Trinity. We obviously heard from Craig Lynch a couple of weeks ago. Last week, actually, we heard from Craig Lynch. And he was mentioning the injuries, but also the fact it's a team in transition. It's a very much a different team from the one last year. And he's confident that they'll be able to move up the table. We certainly saw that performance against Gainsborough Trinity. That's for sure. Tough game for Radcliffe. Tough away, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, Morpeth, as you mentioned then, I think we mentioned it when I did the show from the Heat and Hops, a lot of their experienced players have gone to Hebburn, haven't they? The likes of Wayne Phillips and Jeff Henderson, people like that, really. So, yeah, they've still got people like Liam Noble there, Dan Loughton, Sean Taylor, Andrew Johnson. So they've still got the players to be doing it. They're underachieving, as are Radcliffe, I feel. They're underachieving. They get good results against FC United at home, but then don't back it up. And Morpeth, now they've won at home, may well give them a bit of confidence. So I looked at that straight away and thought home win for some reason. But yeah, I just think Morpeth will win that.
Well, that's Radcliffe taking on Morpeth Town this weekend up in the northeast. Where should we go to next? There's only two matches left. Let's go to Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers taking on Mask United this weekend. A game I don't think anyone at Stafford Rangers wants at the moment, do they? Because of what happened midweek, Mask showing that, you know, when they get some games played, that they're not the team where their league position suggests. They'll be hoping for a follow-up to the Ashton United result at Marston Road.
The thing you worry about Mask is, Ben, have they got too many games in hand? You know, it's going to catch up with them at some point. They will be probably playing three times a week, a couple of times, won't they? And so they're going to be almost playing 3-4 games a week, and with travelling as well, it's going to be tough for them. They could be inconsistent, and that could be their Achilles heel, because in this league, once you get on a bad run, you can get stuck in a rut a little bit, as Stafford are at the minute. They've lost the last four, haven't they? And I know the Stafford fans have been saying that they're really targeting this one as a must win. I think they will. I think they'll win 1-0.
Last game for this weekend. And I mentioned, you know, Warrington Town against SC United being up there for game of the weekend. Guys against Hyde United certainly up there as well. What about Whitby Town against Nantwich Town? This is huge, isn't it? 1 point separating the two teams. Whitby Town with three games in hand over Nantwich. And after a spell of good results for Nantwich, they've just hit a little bit of a bump in the road over the past couple of fixtures. They'll be looking to get back to winning ways. But for Whitby, barring South Shields and Geisley, their form's been pretty good. So,
yeah, always a tough place to go. I can't see Nantwich winning. They may get a draw.
Luke, just before you go, just to touch upon this week's game over at Nevermore, Geisley taking on Hyde United. If you can't make the game in person, there will be live coverage on 26-0. Give it a plug. How can people tune in, Luke?
So if you go to mixlr.com/26-0, you'll hear us there, obviously, listening. And you can also tweet us at 26-0 live during the coverage as well. I'll be there. Berkey won't be there. It's his wife's birthday. So it's another excuse for him not to go.
It's an away game as well, obviously.
It's only Leeds, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, but still. Anyway, well, Luke Edwards from 26-0, a big, big thank you for joining us on this week's show. You have a lovely weekend and catch up very soon.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
And a big thank you to Luke Edwards for joining me on this week's show. But that's it for the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to all the media teams for their interviews this past week. Just a reminder, all the YouTube channels that we've used on this week's show, the link to those marvellous channels are available in the description to this podcast. Big thank you to James and all the managers as well for joining me on this week's show. But for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.